All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F-Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, which means 24-7 NBA talk for the next 3 hours with myself, Nick, and live from Wichita, Kansas, the comedian of the week in Wichita. Not the comedian of the week here, one Barry Laminack. What up, fellas?
What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up?
Barry, how we doing?
I'm good, man. You?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah?
I'm happy it's Friday.
Okay, good.
You made it.
I did make it. Everything's good up here. I feel like Nick and I almost, we avoided a skirmish last night on Twitter. Both of us had been drinking.
Yeah.
With each other, or others?
What do you mean? A skirmish with each other.
Uh-oh.
I made fun of his beloved Cougars.
Oh.
And he goes, why? And I was like, I'm drunk. I don't really have an excuse. He goes, oh, me too. And then that was it. We just left it at that. And
because the Cougs had a shot last night. That would have been a nice win for them. SMU undefeated. Like,
so, yeah, and ranked too, right?
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, well, I think I saw this correctly, and maybe I didn't. I have to go back and look because, again, I was drunk, but Did they not go out of bounds and spike the ball at the same time? Did that really happen?
I mean, to be honest with you, based on what I just saw from David Barron and the ratings overnight, you were one of three people watching the game. So I don't
No, I totally didn't watch the game. Someone tagged me on the
video.
Okay,
so you were one of two people. You were not one of the two people watching the game.
No, someone actually tagged me and was like, look at this. U of H went out of bounds to stop the clock and spike the ball the very next play.
Which is pretty solid.
Really?
I mean, the thing is unlike Bill O'Brien, if you want to solidify it, you do it twice to make sure that everybody gets it.
Yeah, right?
Right? I don't know. I didn't watch that game. I was flipping back and forth between football and the Rockets.
Oh, I knew you were going to be all over the Rockets. I knew it.
Damn right. Barry, they're playing the Milwaukee Bucks. Jeez.
Oh, well, yeah, you had double reason to watch it, I guess.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and then can we just go ahead and point out the fact that we are one game into the season, Joel,
yeah,
and you're already replying all to the bots on Twitter, and now I'm seeing their stupid-ass messages.
Bot? That was some guy just making a point about the game, and I decided to give him an honest response.
He had six followers. Let me tell you how you tell from now on. You go to their profile. If they have six followers, they're probably a bot. All you got to do is just look at their tweets. Every tweet was about an NBA team to some radio or TV personality. Duh, that's a bot.
No, that's Daryl's kids. There's a difference.
No, well, now see, I don't.
Or it was
that I don't know.
Or it was the six people that got disillusioned by the U of H Cougar game and decided to come on over and watch the end of the Rockets game and then decided to tweet. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. That could be it too. That could be it too. But I woke up to that and I was like, oh, God bless it. Glad I was drunk and not on Twitter last night. I will say this though, and I was going to tweet this out, but I thought I'd save it for the show and debut the story here.
Okay.
I get to Wichita, mm-hmm, and all is good, and I'm outside sitting on a bench waiting for the show to start, and I witnessed with my own eyes. I watched a blind man with the cane, the long cane,
mm-hmm,
fight a dog.
Oh.
And the blind man won.
Really?
Now, one of them ought to be ashamed of themselves. And I don't know if the blind man wasn't blind or if the dog is just the worst fighter in the history of dogs.
What kind of dog? What size? What age range?
No idea. I have no idea the breed. It was, you know, a medium-sized dog. It wasn't huge. It wasn't like a Yorkie or anything. It was, you know, just an average-sized dog, average-looking mutt. And I heard this yapping, and I turned around, and I see this blind man just whooping this dog, and the dog's trying to attack him, and he's landing blows with the cane. And I was like, see? either he's like, who's that superhero that was blind but could dodge bullets? I don't know who that is because he could hear the bullets coming. I was like, maybe he hears where the dog is.
Keanu Reeves?
I think he was fronting. No, that was The Matrix.
Oh.
I think he was fronting, though. I really don't know that he... I was like, okay, one of them, like I said, should be ashamed of themselves. Either the blind man should be ashamed of himself for lying that he's blind, or the dog should be ashamed of themselves for actually getting beat up by a blind guy. I'm not sure which, but I just... That was the mic. It's amazing when you're sitting there watching it for the first time going, wow, this is really happening.
Hmm.
This blind man is fighting a dog and winning. This lets you know anything is possible.
Or, Barry, it adds to the conspiracy theory that there are more blind people out there that can see than they want to lead on, like your whole theory about Stevie Wonder.
Ah?
See?
What? Maybe
see?
That was,
I'm helping.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, I like it. We're clicking today already.
They're already. Glad you and I are, because me and the rest of the free world aren't, but it's okay. Here's the other thing.
Happened?
Can I ask you a question? I love plenty.
Who's picking on you, buddy? I got your back.
I am
who's
so tired from everything, from my own IV, having to give IVs at 3 in the morning to all this other crap. And you already know DirecTV and otherwise are on my list, too. But here's the thing. Let me ask you a question. We're friends with Matt Thomas. We're friends with a lot of people in this fine community, right? Even though some would say we're competitors. Do y'all have a problem if we know that we have listeners and we have a lot that will flip over from time to time or listen to other shows besides ours?
No, I don't have a problem with that.
Nick, any problem with that? Or are you good with it? You got a problem with that?
Sorry, but I was pulling audio.
Sorry, you got a problem with that? If someone, you know, if listeners of ours flip over to listen to other stations?
No, I have no problem with that.
See, I don't either. So I was told by several sources, listeners of ours, that people at other stations get the red ass when they find out and they put on social media and otherwise that they listen to us and are loyal to us as well as them. So much so that they will freeze them out, not talk to them, and shut them out on social media. If you are that big of a bitch, you should get out of this industry. And you should just do something else. Because that is the most ridiculously absurd thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm sure there's suspects.
Suck it,
that...
Clanton. Oh. Who?
I'm sure there's a bunch of suspects that do that, man. Like, that
yeah.
I mean,
flip
it's
the
no,
channel every
look,
now and then.
Off the top of my head, I can probably name 5 or 6 that I know that listen to 790 and 610 maybe from time to time. More 790 than 610, but I know it, and I don't care. I'm appreciative of the fact that we're in the mix, and for the most part, they like what we do. That's it.
Yeah.
I just think it's so 12-year-old girlish if you're going to do something like that.
You won't name names, will you?
No, I'm not going to, because then it goes way too far. I'm just saying, overall,
if you're a grown-ass man
at this stage in your life, stop worrying about what people do in terms of entertainment when it doesn't. If you're part of the mix, just be happy you got a piece of the pie. Stupid.
Did this go? Now I'm hungry. Did this go down on Twitter?
No. These were text
and your text messages.
I was in private messages.
Man,
I was getting. And it's just.
Can you tell me who the listener was that's being shunned by the other stations?
There were a few. Let's just put it that way.
A few. Wow, there's some big old bitches out there,
isn't
there?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand it at this point. It's just, to me, you know, we can go down the list. I mean, Sean Salisbury's a friend, and Adam Wexler's a friend, and
yeah,
Matt Thomas
and Salisbury just had the knee issue, and
I
tweeted and said, you know, speedy recovery to you, buddy. Yeah, you know, I have a man crush on Matt Thomas, and I got to hang out with him as it.
There were so many people,
Johnny's
Pendergast and others, checking on me with the leg thing from different stations. So, you know what? That's what I'm saying.
So it was none of them then. It was none of them.
We're all friends, and that's the way it should be, because one day you could be competitors, and the next day you could be on the same team. And then, unless
Joel,
you're
was
here...
was it one of them that you named?
What do you mean, one of them?
Tell the truth.
One of them that I just named that are friends of ours?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I was going to be so sad, because those are all great dudes, and I would hate for them to be shunning
exactly.
listeners.
Exactly, but again, you know who they are. And the fact of the matter is, we probably know who most people are better than most, and that is a detriment to them, not us, because we're pretty good judges of character, and what we don't know, they live up to their billing pretty quickly anyway, if you followed that.
I don't know what any of that meant, but yes, I agree.
Yes.
I didn't follow a lot of that.
I got to go get a Nick.
I'm hungover. All right,
Nick and I are going to get jerseys.
I had a lot of whiskeys last night. All right, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, did you? Well, I saw you got up early enough to start the document, so that was good. So I figured you probably had some whiskeys or otherwise.
Oh, yeah, because you know I had that comedian of the week plugged in.
Oh, you nailed that. I even gave you a little friendly reminder in bright red. That didn't help, so.
Literally at 12:59, Nick's like, do you have a comedian of the week? I was like, oh, my God, I'm so hungover. I totally forgot about that. He was like, well, give me a name. I'll try. Nick, did you find anything?
Yeah, I got one for the first hour, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to give us the backstory on the guy.
Go, Barry.
We'll do it after the break, but right now I want to tell the people about my bookie, because to me that's way more important. And hey, speaking of important, if you're gonna wager on sports, it's super important that you pick the right company to do that with. And the right company is my bookie, because nobody pays you faster. You get your cash when you want it, and that is absolutely essential when you're deciding where you want to place your wagers at. Guys, go with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. They've got odds on every game. They've got all the prop bets. In fact, they have more prop bets than any other sports book out there. They've got the parlays, the teasers, everything you could want and everything you're interested in. But it's fast, it's safe, it's reliable. And again, they pay you faster than anybody in this business as well. Nobody pays out faster than MyBookie, and that's super important. Also, you can bet after kickoff. How cool is that? You don't have to, I missed it, I didn't get it in time. Nope. They've got in-game action live right there on the spot. You can get in on that as well at MyBookie. It's so cool, man. You just go sign up. Don't bet with a no-name sports book. That's silly. You're taking a huge risk. It's your money. Don't risk it. Go with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Bet smart this year, especially if you're starting out. Speaking of starting out, if you sign up right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. How cool is that? That's your money. That's what you wager however you see fit over there at MyBookie with it. But all you gotta do is put in promo code radio when you sign up to take advantage of that exclusive double your first deposit offer. Guys, go sign up right now. It's MyBookie.ag. I love them. You'll love them. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I got to see a bird fly into a woman's head recently. Yeah, it was unusual, and you're right to laugh, but here's the thing. That wasn't the most unusual part about this scenario. Let's put it this way. It happened in Manhattan. Nothing very unusual about the scenario before this happened. She's sort of wandering down the street, muttering to herself, but not in a weird way that might attract birds. Like, just sort of like a standard Manhattanite suppressing a boiling, seething rage beneath the surface, minding her own business. And a pigeon swoops down, point blank, hits her right in the side of the head, and there is an explosion of hair and feathers. And this is all she does in response to that happening to her. And kept going. Like it happened all the time.
Oh, no, he didn't. Barry, tell us about our comedian of the week.
All right, so I chose Paul Odo this week because he was in town at the Secret Group. He has a show that he's working on, a one-man show called Elsa. But Paul is a special person for me and my comedy career. Paul is from Houston. He moved out to New York. He's been doing, you know, some cool stuff out in New York. He's a winner of the Boston Comedy Festival, which is a really big deal. Very festival, very hard festival to get into, much less win. But he's the first guy that I ever worked a weekend at a club with. I was an MC. I was young. I was like 1 year into the business. And I got my first hosting gig and my first club out of the Joke Joint. And Paul Odo was the headliner. And I was so nervous. And I was just like, I didn't know, you know, how to handle things. And I feel like if it would have been anybody else, it would have been a disaster of a weekend. But the fact that Paul Odo is genuinely a great person off the stage, just like he's a great comic on, he made the weekend so much more fun and relaxing for me because I was so nervous. And I can't thank him enough for being such an awesome dude and an awesome comic. So I wanted to feature Paul this week for sure, especially since he was in town this past Wednesday at the Seeker Group. So Paul Odo, hilarious dude, and my first weekend ever got to MC for him.
Cool. Very cool story. And the fact that there's your backstory on that. We'll hopefully have clips at 2:15 and 3:15 as well. Nick's working on those now. So make sure you stay tuned for that, because that's always a fun little staple of F Yeah Friday. Other than that, plenty to get to. Obviously, Barry, I wanted to open up by getting your thoughts. Nick and I were able to break the news last night of the Astros breaking the news that they had finally moved on. In terms of the entire scandal going on between the assistant general manager, the name escapes me at the time, but then Jeff Luhnow's press conference, some crazy back and forth. Brandon Taubman, they fired him yesterday. They had a release, a statement. Then Jeff Luhnow absolutely addressed the media. So did AJ Hinch. But Nick and I were kind of able to express our feelings yesterday. I thought it'd be good and apropos to start the dialogue today with you getting what you thought of the entire situation.
You know, it's you feel like my first thought was, it's a bad look, too little, too late almost, because you came out in support of the guy. And then you had to backtrack on that and say we were wrong and fire him. Now, you know, you have to give credit to him for doing the right thing eventually. But you feel like, and I saw Jerome post this, and it was kind of the same thing I thought, but you feel like the best course of action at now, in hindsight, 2020. But this is a lesson for everybody going forward. Everybody needs to next time just say we're aware of it and we're looking into it. And when we have all the information, we'll have a statement. And if the Astros had done that, they wouldn't be in this situation now. But they immediately supported him. And again, I'm not going to back off what I said. It felt like there were holes in the story. Why would somebody do that for no reason? Well, apparently he did, and he's an idiot for doing it for no reason. He wasn't provoked. He was just being a jerk, which baffles me that the grown-ass man in that position at a sports organization would do something like that, so childish, so petty, and so insulting that he deserves to lose his job over it. But there was just, in my mind, a rational person thinks there's no way that someone just does that. And that's not the case. Apparently he did, and he got what he deserved, which was being let go. And I commend the Astros for doing the right thing, but I feel like they've got a lot of work to do now to reengage themselves with this community and to gain the trust back, rebuild the trust and the goodwill with this community, because this was damaging. Make no mistake about it. It was very damaging. I have a lot of friends that are diehard Astros fans that were like, "Nah, I can't be down with that." And so they've got their work cut out for them. But here's the saving grace of it, right? So I don't know who within the organization is the one that released the statement and okayed it, whether it was Jeff Luhnow or whatever. But thank God, if you're an Astros insider, if you work for the Astros, thank God AJ Hinch came out and said what he said and did what he did. Because at least you can say, well, that was our PR guy. He released that. That didn't reflect us. We should have, you know, we're firing him and this and that. But look at our manager. He was out front on the right side of it. And so that might help them. But I commend AJ Hinch for coming out and being on the right side of it immediately.
And I had said that, you know, look, he showed more control and class in all of this than anybody else. And you're absolutely right. I firmly believe that the Astros have a lot of work to do to try and gain back the confidence and trust and belief of a lot of people, not just in the media, but in this city and nationally. Because I saw Buster Olney and everybody else just calling out every bit of this, starting with the fact that the Astros never should have made the initial statement until they had more facts. We said that from day one as well. And then the other thing that kind of was awkward was, you know, Jeff Luhnow spoke to the media for about 20 minutes yesterday. And at one point they said, have you reached out to Stephanie Epstein, who you mentioned in your second statement of apologizing, to apologize to her and to speak? And he said, I've been busy. No, I haven't. She was in the room. A lot of people blew that out of proportion and were also, I think, kind of expecting that he was going to do it while at the podium. The only place for that to happen is privately, one-on-one, in a side room somewhere where they can have a candid conversation off the record. And then initially, and then eventually maybe have one on the record, but let them do what they're supposed to do, what's the right thing to do without needing cameras, microphones, and others in the room. And if you feel so entitled that you believe it should have happened during the press conference, that's shame on you.
I mean, I agree with you. A press conference wouldn't be the way to do it. But at the same time, I don't know that a private apology, if you fought the battle, you know, in the media, then it doesn't make sense to then apologize privately. Right?
I disagree. I just think because of the fact
like
that...
Like in addition to, right? Like
yes.
apologize publicly, but also apologize.
Correct.
That's what you're saying
yeah.
in addition
and,
to.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
But I'm saying if the only apology is ever issued privately...
Yeah, that would, that
you're
would be
you're almost doing her a disservice because you tried to disparage her name publicly. You need to make that wrong right publicly as well and say, look, we were wrong. She was right. This is an issue. Her story wasn't fabricated. Her story wasn't wrong. Maybe she didn't present all the facts because she didn't have them, but she was right. And we were wrong, and we're sorry for that. And then, yes, at the game, pull her aside and say, listen, we screwed up, and that's on us, and we're very sorry.
See, because the most recent – example I can give you is Richard Sherman and Baker Mayfield. Richard Sherman made an ass of Baker Mayfield, said he didn't shake hands with him before the game, and he needs to grow up, and blah 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 blah. Then the video surfaced. Then he had to go back and backtrack, and he's like, "Well, I'll text him, or I'm sorry, and I'll text him, or whatever." I think that's disingenuous because of the fact that if you're going to bash him in the media, yes, you apologize in the media, but if you truly are the man you say you are, then you go and make sure one-on-one, you go, you know what, bro, my bad. You talk about it. In this case, yes, she's due a public apology for sure. But if you really, truly want to get this thing going in the right direction for forgiveness and to kind of mend your reputation, you have a meeting with her and the others involved that were within earshot or whoever it was directed at, and you say, hey, look, we didn't handle this correctly. That's our bad. And also listen. Listen to what they have to say and maybe find out there might be more to everything that was brought, you know, started to bring light to certain things so that you're aware of everything else so that you don't continue to misstep.
Yeah, I mean, all that. It's so weird because what you say is common sense, right? And
yes.
You would think that common sense would somehow prevail in a lot of this, and it just didn't. And that's the most disheartening thing is, you know, you can say whatever you want about, you know, what went down and how and all that. But at the end of the day, you feel like common sense would prevail. And I don't think at any point that it did until now. And now it's almost too late. The damage has been done.
No, I totally agree. And again, you know, they've got work to do. But at least they can, for the rest of this World Series, this is not going to be a sidebar distraction. And now it's just about baseball, you hope. But, you know... The thing that Nick and I were talking about last night, too, that I said is, right or wrong, Brandon Taubman's not going to be out of a job very long. He was going to be considered Ooh. For a lot of general manager jobs, and I just feel like it may be soft-sold early on, but I think there are too many people in baseball, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, but unfortunately, from our standpoint of looking at this, that are so concerned with winning and getting people that can give you an edge, that I think that he'll end up with another job sooner rather than later. I really do.
Yeah. I think he'll end up back in baseball, but I don't think it'll be sooner. I think that if you're a team, you would be foolhardy to go out and sign him right away. Like, you have to let this marinate. You have to let this run its course and give him some time away from the game first, because it's a bad look if you bring him in at this point, because now everyone's admitted that this really happened, that he took it upon himself, unprovoked, to lash out at these three female reporters. That's not something you can just sweep under the rug and move on.
When we talked about the fact with all those microphones and cameras, something was going to surface. You're in Wichita. You didn't get this, but the local news started to find video and piece it together of when he was in the locker room. There's no doubt he was liquored up.
You know what else there's no doubt of? That if you need jewelry, whether it be custom-made jewelry, like I got my wife's ring. I needed a custom-made ring for her. And if you just need a watch or something, gifts for the holiday seasons, guys, it's 60 days away. It's 60 days until Christmas. You better get on it. And the best way to make your wife or significant other happy is jewelry. And no better place in town to do it than Klein's Jewelry. My guy Mark Klein is going to make you a hero. In fact, Mark, before I let you run and tell the people how great you're going to take care of them, I had a listener reach out to me. Lauren Pope was like, hey, I've got this ring, and you know, where should I hit up Mark? I was like, absolutely go to Mark. He's going to take care of you, I promise. So how are you going to help the rest of these listeners, Mark?
anything you want in jewelry, you got to call Klein Jewelry. I've been doing it since 1969. So obviously we've been doing it something right here. I started in 1990. My dad had it since 1969. We do it better than anyone else in the city. If you have jewelry in a box sitting at home that she's not using, hey, bring it in. We can custom make something for her. So anything in jewelry that you want, whether it's diamond pendants, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond anything, just give us a call at Klein's Jewelry. It's the best deal in the city of Houston. You can check out the malls. You can go to some half-price sales. You can go to some wholesaler that you know that is the best prices. They don't. You can call me on the phone. I'll quote you my price over the phone. It'll be better than anywhere, and you'll come to Klein's. I do it over and over and over. And every single person that you send me, every single person that Granado sends me has been taken care of, and we build our clientele based on doing it right. So anything in jewelry, jewelry repair, watch repair, diamond earrings, diamond pendant, diamond bracelet, give us a call at 832-316-1388. 832-316-1388. Check out KleinsJewelry.com. We're located at Westheimer in Fountain View. We've been here for 5 years. We were down the street for since 1985. We just moved 5 years ago. So we're in the Houston's Restaurant Shopping Center. And, hey, give us a call at 832-316-1388. We're going to take care of you.
Do it. You won't regret it. He made me a hero. He'll do the same for you. Mr. Klein, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time, buddy.
All right. See you later.
All right, there you go. Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry. Check them out online, kleinsjewelry.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the show. It's an FPF Friday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you're on the go like Barry Laminack, you should have the app, ESPN975.com. Download the app. Take it anywhere, everywhere. Make sure you never miss another show. And, of course, if you miss any while you're on the go, go to that same ESPN975.com. You click on the show tab at the top of the page. Click on the hours that you missed, and boom, you can catch up on the first clip of Paul Odo, our comedian of the week. And we'll have so much more between now and 4. Right,
do
Barry?
It. Do yeah, it.
Absolutely.
That's what so you're waiting on, right?
We kind of recapped a little bit of the non-baseball portion of the Astros story. Mm. Now getting into Game 3 tonight, Grinky Sanchez, obviously, for more than a couple of reasons, but it's a must-win for the Astros. But, to get your thoughts on this, Nick and I were talking about yesterday, bottom line in my mind, and I know that only three teams have done it, dropped the first two games at home and come back to win the series, I firmly believe this is a team that can do it. I'm not saying that they're going to, but I do believe the way this team has been able to kind of, you know, brush off their shoulders and just get down to business when they need to. And a lot of people gave up on this team when they lost game one against the Yankees and had to go get game three. And obviously get Gerrit Cole pitching on the mound helps a lot. I just feel like in that locker room, they believe they can still get this done.
Well, they had the players only meeting. I guess that was to address, not giving up. And the story was that they basically just said, hey, you know, if anyone can do this, it's us, and let's go out there and do it. That's all great, but you got to remember, just because you will it to happen on your side, you still got a confident, capable Washington Nationals team on the other side that aren't scared of the Astros, that know they can beat the Astros, did it twice where they were the Astros. Remember, the Astros best home team in baseball.
Yep.
And just lost two in a row. And now they've got to go on the road where they weren't as good and have to go out and win at least two more on the road, probably need a sweep to have a chance. And against that rotation, it's going to be difficult, man. I mean, tonight's matchup is interesting to me because who would have thought that the pivotal game in this was going to be Zach Greinke and Anibal Sanchez?
Mm-hmm.
especially if you go out and you drop the two games you're supposed to win.
And assuming if they win tonight, game four is going to be a bullpen game again. It's just vital and hyper important that Zach Greinke's not only got to pitch well, he's got to pitch deep into this ball game. Because you need all hands on deck for that bullpen game. And as we saw, A.J. Hinch was able to push the right buttons in the Yankee series when he went to the bullpen game. But he did need all of those arms available. So you need Greinke to give you six or seven so that you can preserve as much of the other pitchers as you may need when you get into a game four. And you're right. Advantage Nationals in the fact that they have four quality starters that they can call on. Now, you do realize, too, that the best left-handed pitching, the best lineup to hit left-handed pitching in the bigs was the Astros this year. So when Corbin takes the mound, and they saw him, albeit for one inning in game one. But the fact is, I would still feel pretty confident that Houston's not going to struggle mightily with a Corbin like they might with some of the pitchers like Scherzer and Strasburg. But obviously, if you're going to have him on the mound versus, you know, God knows how many pitchers, you know, they're going to call on for the Astros, you're right, advantage Nationals.
They replaced Bryce Harper with Corbin and counted on Soto to be their new star, and all that has worked out perfectly. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you've got to go in either with Urquidy or Peacock or whatever mishmash of arms you do versus Corbin, that's huge advantage Nationals. And regardless of whether you think they're going to hit him or not, I'm not suggesting that the Astros can't win that game. I mean, they used that formula to beat the Yankees, who their bullpen is way better than the Astros. I'm just saying it is going into the game, it certainly is an advantage to have a starter that you can rely on as opposed to having to have a bullpen session where you're doing matchups. And look, this bullpen's already been used, and you know they've already seen this bullpen. So I think they have that advantage as well. And just the fact that the quality of the arms that you're going to get versus Corbin the first five or six innings that he's in the game, that he's better than what they're going to run out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Bregman came out in a press conference last night, and he basically said we need to put pressure on them. We need, and obviously to make the statement of get up early, you know, put some runs on the board, make a statement that you're not, and we talked about this when we looked at the Cardinals Nationals matchup, and you and I were talking, and I said, look, you're going to see one of two things from a Cardinals team with their back against the wall. The first time they get punched in the mouth, they're either going to fold up their tents and they're going to go home, or they're going to fight and claw and scratch. They're going to get back into it, do whatever they need to do, and stay competitive throughout the game. It's a lot easier to do when you're the lead dog than when you're coming from behind and you're down two games. But I would really like to see this offense, because let's be honest. Look, the starting pitching hasn't been great, but it hasn't been awful. The fact that the overriding theme of this Astros playoff run has been the offense has just been inconsistent and not very good, except for in spots when they desperately needed them.
Yeah, I think the big failing mark for this team, this playoffs, isn't even offensively out. I mean, well, it is offensively, but it's the fact that they've left so many men on base, so many men in scoring position. And that's, I mean, if you're getting this kind of pitching, you've got to convert. And they're just not doing that. Yeah, they've had key moments and big hits on occasion, but when the guy's hitting 200 and that's who's winning the game for you because he had a big three-run home run, that tells you your pitching's holding up. It's just your offense, and you're getting lucky. And that's what you can't count on, is getting lucky. What the Nationals have done hasn't been lucky. They've just hit, and they've been consistently hitting the ball this series. And the Astros are going to have to find that and match them with that. The Astros have a better lineup, but they're just not producing right now.
No, and look, we say this all. I'm constantly harping on this, and I don't think people take it serious enough, but momentum and confidence is a very valuable cog in professional sports, and especially when you get the hot team that gets extra confidence from starting a series the way the Nationals have. We talked about the fact that whatever you want to call it, however you want to label it, the Astros look like they've been pressing. The Nationals are anything but that. The Nationals are loosey-goosey from the celebrations in the dugout to the way in between innings and even on the field, the way they're laughing things off and just going about their business and, you know, taking everything in stride. They are a team that is just, for so many, they're the hot team in baseball, poised to just keep rolling. And you got to be that pothole in the road if you're the Astros, and you've got to overcome that, the momentum side of it and the confidence side of it, as well as just everything with the scoreboard and on the field.
Well, you talk about rolling. They won those last two games in L.A., swept the Cardinals, and now up 2-0 on the Astros. It's almost like they're just a team of destiny. I mean, when you figure they've rattled off 8 wins in a row.
And Barry, for 7 innings, they were done.
8 wins in a row.
Their first game for 7 innings against the Brewers, they were donezo. And then, you know, a couple things happened. They got to one of the best closers in baseball. You know, and it doesn't matter how they got it done. They come from behind and beat the Brewers in the wild card. And they're like, hey, the key is just getting in. Now we're in the DS. Anything can happen. And lo and behold, the floodgates opened up. And they have just been a barrel rolling downhill ever since then.
Yeah, it's that momentum has been key for them. And I mean, to make matters worse, you're on the road now. And they, you know, again, they won 51 games at home themselves, or 50 games at home. So they're no slouch in that city.
No, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting. It should be a great environment tonight. So we're going to make sure that we see everything is going on tonight in D.C. for Game 3. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks. I've been telling you about them. Starting today, it's leather and lace days at Twin Peaks all the way till the end of October. That means that the beautiful Twin Peaks girls are going to be dressed up in leather and lace and there to take care of everything when you're at a table. But it's the best place to watch sports. We were there yesterday. All the screens, all the subscriptions, all the sports packages, you can't go wrong. And on top of that, there's always going to be a clean environment, made from scratch entrees, and of course, 29 degree draft beer. It's the place to be if you're going to leave home to watch sports and have fun, whether you love ice cold ale or hoppy IPAs. Today is the day for all beer lovers to come together and celebrate American made brews. You get to Twin Peaks and raise a glass to celebrate National American Beer Day. That's the 27th. Obviously, Halloween's going to be a big thing too, but there's 5 area Houston locations. There's no reason and no excuse why you can't get to one. And if you do, you're going to be glad you did, because they're always going to take care of you. And of course, Jägermeister specials as well. $2.99 shots at Twin Peaks. Valid at participating locations along with Leather and Lace Week. So make sure you head it. I'm telling you all the time. I told you yesterday. I'll tell you again today. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's in Wichita, Kansas, but he's with us, and that's always good. It's Nick, it's Joel, we're all in studio, well, 2 of us in studio, and as I mentioned, Barry, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, first hour of the 3-hour show. Do want to make sure that you guys know, aside from an FEF Friday and our Comedian of the Week and everything else we've got going on, because we were on remote yesterday, our fantasy football guru, Sigmund Bloom, is going to join us at 2:30 today, because we cannot go 2 weeks without giving you the best in fantasy football advice. So therefore, as you know how we do it, get your calls lined up as we go to break right before 2:30. We take calls first, then hit us with tweets and texts, and we'll get as many as we possibly can in the single segment that we're going to have with Sigmund. And then another reminder, at 3:30, ESPN's beat reporter for your Houston Texans, Sarah Barshop, joins us as we get ready to preview Raiders at Texans at NRG on Sunday. So a full slate today.
Hey, I wanted to point out, you know, AJ has been raking me over the coals about the broken mic stands.
Yes, amongst other things, but yes. And
of course, but he does it on air. I felt like if he's going to make it out to where I'm the guy that's breaking them, I just wanted to point out that I asked Tony here in Wichita, where they have these really nice metal mic stands. They're tall and they're sturdy and they're gold plated, like it's fancy. And I was like, you know, Tony, these look really sturdy. How much are these? He's like, oh, they're, you know, a couple $100. I was like, how many of these have ever been broken? He goes, we've never had one. Oh, okay, cool. I was just checking. Okay. Just wanted to check.
So can you wait and just bring that up in person with him and just let us know so Nick and I can just sit outside in the hallway and see how that conversation goes?
Bro, why do you think I'm doing it all the way in Wichita? No.
It's a pretty smart idea, because the only thing that might be almost parallel to that is if you just told AD directly. Because I'd like either one of those guys, if I got AJ or AD,
and listen, was able to be a fly on the wall, it would be entertaining.
But they make it, they always, the only reason I'm doing this is because they say I break it. And of course, you guys don't help. You know that I don't break those mic
because
stands.
Because you definitely break them.
See? Oh, you see, if you would just have my back, I wouldn't have to worry about this.
You keep dropping you your no big head idea. On the stand or something. I don't know what it is that you do.
Well, he does like to play with the mic throughout shows.
This is not how I wanted this to go at all.
I mean, you know.
This is, see, if you guys would just have my back, the anxiety that I get from being accused of breaking it, it would be minimal. But
the problem is it's documented on video, and I can't lie to AD and AJ about it when you keep dropping your big-ass head.
Oh, my God. I hate
on the
so
boom.
Much.
Well, and the other thing is when he's not talking about get upside, he's trying to get upside, if you know what I mean, when he's taking it to taking care of business on the mic stands.
What?
You're pretty you like to massage the mic a lot during the course of the show. It's really weird.
I should have never brought this up. You guys,
we totally screwed Barry on this.
How did I know y'all wouldn't have my back on this? Oh God, let's read some text.
All right,
hey,
bet you those will go in your favor.
No, they actually don't. It says, Barry, you should be ashamed for sitting on a bench and watching a blind man get attacked by a dog and not helping out. You think I'm going to mess that up?
Yeah. Why? Why? I mean,
why would I help? I'm watching. That was great. And he won. He didn't need my help.
Why are you somebody doing said, what he couldn't do? That's mean.
Yeah, somebody said that was a trick question. The guy that just sat on the bench and watched is the person that needs to reevaluate themselves and be ashamed.
Okay.
No, that's not true. You guys took that all wrong. Somebody want to know, Barry, what's the name of that VR place off of I-10? I'm looking for a place to take my son for his birthday. Zero Latency is the name. Last text, AG wants to know, when do I winterize my grass? I spent a lot of time on it this summer. I don't want to ruin it. First week of November.
Oh, boy.
There you go. See, that was short. That was easy. I didn't go into what and how and all that. I answered the question. First week of November. Put out your winterizer. You're welcome.
Speaking of short and easy.
See? You just.
I'm just saying. I mean, are we getting back into your massaging the mic or no? Okay.
Oh. It's weird how you hold it with two hands, though, on the shaft of the mic.
I actually never, and Nick can attest to this, I never touched the mic. I set it at the start of the show.
You just
and
use
then
your
I
mouth
to
move it around?
It. Nope. And I also bring my own mic screen that I don't have. You're the germaphobe, but I bring my own mic screen so I don't have to deal with anybody else's spit.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's tell the whole story. Big Daddy over here got you that mic screen. Yes.
You showed me where they were located. I got one that I cleaned.
No, you're a liar because I went out and got six of them and gave a couple to the Blitz and you, and I got one.
But then I changed it out. But yeah, I'll give you the initial. Oh, sure. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's weird about it is that when you put the mic screen on, you only do it with your mouth. And that's so crazy how you're able to like get, it's just, it's great. Like you, it's skill. It's a great skill.
Mm-hmm. And then you wonder why you don't get the kind of support that you're looking for when you break all these mic stands.
You
we
started
cannot
it.
Lie.
Joseph, you started it. If you would have had my back at the beginning of the segment, I wouldn't be crapping on you at the end of it. Well, in the middle.
You know that blue chair you like when you're in studio?
No, don't.
Well, I got it today, and you're not going to want it when you come back. Let me just put it to you that way. I'm going to mark my territory on it, and it's going to be mine from now on.
Are you farting in there a lot? I
bet
you are.
Maybe. Yep. Maybe. It's a possibility.
I'll bring my Febreze.
There may or may not be some remaining infection around my leg that I'm wiping in the middle of the seat.
God, okay.
That's nasty.
Yeah, but guess what? You won't touch it ever again. I like the height of this chair.
So are you going to keep it? You're going to use it going forward?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nope.
You really don't need the height. I mean, aren't you like 6 inches taller than Barry?
Barry? Well, I mean, I duck a lot. I've been slouching lately, which reminds me I should be elevating this
foot. Yeah, you know when you get old, you shrink?
Well, and then you massage your mic and then you break
should
mic stands.
Should I be zooming into Joel's face because he's the only one in the studio right now?
No, do it. Zoom real close.
I don't know if the suspects would appreciate that.
I would appreciate that. How about that? You've already alienated one of us today. Don't go for the doubleheader.
What do you think of Joel's face? Should I zoom in or zoom out? 713-780-3776.
Shout out Dr. Dre. Badass hat.
Oh, that cap is amazing, dude.
Awesome fitted hat that he got me with from the Bun B collection. I appreciate that.
Nice.
Shout out to Pink Valkyrie and Clarence and all the peeps that got to get Donna and all the peeps that got together that got the new arrival, the baby on the way, some nice gifts and care packages, which they delivered to me yesterday, which is very, very nice.
Oh, did they? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And you know what? I still owe you because you know, we were going to do the diaper drive for you for the listeners, and then I just turned it over to them and let them do it. But when I thought that I had canceled the initial thing that I'd set up to be the central point for the collections, I guess I didn't turn it off. So we had another donation. So I still owe you. I transferred what I had to Pink Valkyrie, and then another donation came in. So I still have to go out and get you.
Here's the thing on the donation, too. Let's make that clear. You and I talked about this, and we discussed it internally. I talked about it with Courtney and our people internally. I think it's a great idea if we do a diaper drive to help people in need.
Totally.
So if we do this after the baby is born, we're going to find the right charity and the right destination for these diapers so that we can really make a difference and help some people in need. So we're going to try and do that. So we've been working on that internally, and we're going to try and get that together. So between the baby's birth and, you know, first couple weeks in, we'll hopefully do a diaper drive to help others in the Houston community and do something good with it. So that'll be cool.
I like it. Yep.
So there's that. All right. So we still got plenty to get to. We should probably get into a little bit of football. Lots of interesting things today. I don't know if you saw any of this, Barry, or not. But, you know, at one point I had said Orlando Scandrick was the guy that the Texans should look at. Well, we had said that he had once been with the Eagles recently. They were going to bring him back. They did. Then they cut him. Oh, he did not leave quietly. He left some comments out on there, out in the media today that are going to make people start, especially Holly and Eagles fans. And also Michael Bennett, a guy that's from Houston that went to a place where his brother once played, was suspended for conduct detrimental to the team last week. He didn't come back, tail between legs, apologetic, and now he's on his way to another destination in the NFL. That is what we can lead off hour number two with. So stay tuned. It's more of the usual suspects coming right up, right here on ESPN 97.5.